This is episode 660 of the AWS podcast, released on March 25th, 2024.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the AWS podcast. Simlish here with you. Great to have you back. And I'm joined by my co-host, Gillian Ford. G'day, Gillian. How are you doing?
G'day, Simon. Always fun to do the update show with
Always
you.
Fun. And it's not a big update show, but lots of cool stuff. And we are running two availability zones. Shruti will be with us on the next one. So again, our availability model is working well. Our first topic is the AWS Marketplace. And we're happy to introduce service link roles for AWS Marketplace resale authorization. What this means is that AWS Marketplace sellers like independent software vendors or consulting partners or channel partners can share and accept resale authorizations. Now, a service linked role is an IAM role that allows AWS services like Marketplace to manage your AWS resources on your behalf. And so by doing this, it creates an even more secure framework for sharing. A quick update on the topic of analytics. Amazon MSK Replicator now supports replicating existing data on Kafka topics. So with this new configuration, you can now start replication from the earliest position in your source cluster topics in addition to the latest position. So it's a good way to catch up and move data around.
Up next is compute. Amazon EC2 now enables you to tag your AMI or Amazon Machine Images when you create an AMI from an EBS snapshot or when you copy an AMI within the same or different AWS regions. So if you're like me and you heard this, you might be like, wait a minute, we've had AMIs before, we've had tags, like, I don't really get what did we actually launch. So now when you actually go and create the AMI from an EBS snapshot, you can create the tag with it. Whereas before, you had to go and actually create the AMI and then go and actually create the tag. So it's just like a lot easier.
It's tag on without lots of fiddling and stuff. And I also have to commend you, Gillian, for using the correct pronunciation of AMI versus army.
Oh, we could be friends.
So I feel like we're in tabs versus spaces territory here.
Totally. I'm glad I passed that one. Another one we've got is AWS Batch, and it now supports a batch job queue blocked CloudWatch event for jobs stuck in a runnable state. So customers can automate actions using Event Bridge to be able to take an action on these stuck jobs. Additionally, customers can configure job state time limit actions parameter from the Create Job Queue and Update Job Queue APIs to terminate the stuck job, unblocking the jobs behind it within the queue. Amazon S3 on Outposts now caches AWS IAM permissions locally, improving the performance of applications running on AWS Outposts. This local cache eliminates the variability in first byte latencies that comes from authentication and authorization operations in the parent AWS region, which improves the performance of your object API requests. And last is the AWS Launch Wizard now allows you to automate deployment of SAP S/4HANA Foundation applications and SAP S/4HANA 2023.
Let's talk a bit about customer engagement from here on out. Amazon Simple Email Service, SES, has launched an update to its guided onboarding wizard to help customers meet the authentication requirements introduced by Gmail and Yahoo Mail in 2024. The SES onboarding wizard now guides customers through the steps of verifying their sending identities, establishing custom mail from domains, and publishing a DMARC record if you don't always have one. This makes it even easier for you to start sending authenticated mail. Now, this is an important step because it's getting harder and harder to send email and get it through properly. And previously, you had to look at documentation and blog posts and all that sort of stuff. Now, the console just makes it clear on how to meet the authentication requirements with DKIM alignment, SPF alignment, and a DMARC policy. You get a step-by-step process of how to do the records in your DNS, and also extra information to learn more about the nuances of those. And you can trigger an on-demand advisor check to see if there's any additional recommendations you can implement to achieve optimal authentication, meaning that you're staying in sync with those mailbox provider requirements. Let's talk databases. Amazon TimeStream for InfluxDB is now generally available. So this is a new time series database engine as part of Amazon TimeStream. So now it means you can easily run a fully managed InfluxDB database using open source APIs, and in minutes, you can create an InfluxDB database that handles the most demanding of time series workloads. Few API calls, you can set it up, you can migrate, you can operate, you can scale, and AWS can help with the automated software patching, backups, and recoveries. To migrate to TimeStream for the InfluxDB from a self-managed version of that database, so the InfluxDB instance you're running yourself, you can restore a backup from an existing database and retarget your traffic to your new point. TimeStream for InfluxDB offers the full feature set available in the InfluxDB 2.7 release of the open source version, and it adds deployment options with multi-AZ high availability and enhanced durability. For high availability, TimeStream for InfluxDB allows you to automatically create a primary database instance and synchronously replicate the data to an instance in a different availability zone. When it detects a failure, it'll automatically fail over to the standby instance without manual intervention. And Amazon DynamoDB Local has upgraded to Jetty 12 and JDK 17. We always recommend you use the latest version to make sure you have the latest cool stuff involved. And it's my regular reminder, I think I've reminded everyone on every episode of the Update Show, patch your stuff.
Simon, that reminder doesn't get old. I love it.
I'm thinking a range of stickers and t-shirts and merch.
Totally, yes. We've got one good update on developer tools. AWS Fault Injection Service now allows you to preview target resources before you start an FIS experiment to verify that your experiment is properly configured. So I really like this because Fault Injection Service is one of those services where if you're a DevOps engineer at a company that has customers, like this is a service that you just want to bookmark. You're going to be using it at some point. So in addition to target preview for FIS APIs, they now also return the ARNs of experiments, experiment templates, and actions in the response so that you have the information you need to uniquely identify these resources. So for the folks who are not familiar with what Fault Injection Service is, it's a fully managed service for running fault injection experiments to improve an application's performance, observability, and resilience. Hence, I say there's a lot of use cases for this if you have customers. So within a Fault Injection Service, you can create an experiment template by defining a few key configurations, including actions and targets. And one caveat is Fault Injection Service carries out real actions on real AWS services in your environment. So before you use a Fault Injection Service to run experiments in production, you should definitely plan out this process to run experiments in a pre-production environment.
Yeah, so don't be the famous meme that says, I don't test, but when I do, I test in production.
Simon, I mean, I think you just need your own memes podcast of Simon Jokes.
My meme channels. There's so many nice memes out there.
There's so many. And one quick update in end user computing is you can now obtain an aggregated picture of the performance and health of your workspaces instances using the Amazon CloudWatch automatic dashboard. This enables workspaces administrators to quickly start monitoring workspace metrics and identify issues and their potential causes.
Let's talk machine learning. Now, if you've been following the world of LLMs and generative AI, you'll know that models change all the time and new ones come and new ones go and then new ones come. And so the latest one is here and it's now available on Amazon Bedrock. Anthropic's Claude 3 Haiku Foundation model is now generally available. And the Claude 3 family of models, Claude 3 Opus, Claude 3 Sonnet, and Claude 3 Haiku is the next generation of state-of-the-art models from Anthropic. And Claude 3 Haiku is one of the most affordable and fastest options on the market for its intelligence category. In fact, I've seen some benchmarking done by some customers and it's significantly better. So you get cheaper and faster, which we like. The Claude 3 models, including Haiku, have state-of-the-art vision capabilities that can process and analyze images. The models were trained to be extremely capable at understanding photos, charts, graphs, technical diagrams, and doing optical character recognition. And of course, Amazon Bedrock is a fully managed service that offers a choice of high-performing foundation models from leading AI companies like Anthropic with a broad set of capabilities, so you can choose the thing you need to use. Claude 3 Haiku is Anthropic's fastest and most compact model for near-instant responsiveness, so it's the best choice for building seamless AI experiences that mimic human interactions. So things like moderating content, optimizing inventory management, getting quick and accurate translations, summarizing unstructured data, etc. It's amazing to me how quickly this is all moving. I was looking at some of the demos and applications I'd written just a few months ago, and it was using Claude 2. In the meantime, we've had Claude 2.1 and now Claude 3. The things are moving along.
Such an exciting space, for sure. Now, management and governance. Amazon CloudWatch Synthetics now supports 30-day historical data on Canary runs. AWS CloudFormation improved its deployment experience to validate customer stack operations upfront for invalid resource property errors. Customers can get early feedback that their stack operation will fail due to issues such as spelling errors in their template. With this launch, customers will be able to fail fast and minimize the steps required for a successful stack operation. When you create or update an AWS CloudFormation stack, your stack can fail due to invalid resource property values or unsupported resource property names. So one example is maybe you're trying to deploy an S3 bucket with a misspelled property name or trying to use an EC2 property such as security groups under S3 bucket resource properties. So before, customers waited until the resource being provisioned had such an error, causing the stack operation to fail. It's not fun. Customers would repeat this process until all resources were successfully deployed without invalid resource property errors. But with this new experience, CloudFormation validates your stack operation prior to deploying the first resource and provides error messages upfront. You'll get this information as resource-level stack events with error details as the status reason. I can hear all the DevOps engineers cheering right now.
That's such a quality of life improvement, isn't it?
Totally.
I love that. Let's talk about networking and content delivery. Application Load Balancer ALB now provides flexibility that allows you to configure HTTP client keep alive duration for communication between clients and load balancer. With this feature, you can configure keep alive values to optimize client experience. So the HTTP client keep alive duration specifies the maximum amount of time that the ALB will maintain the HTTP connection with the client before closing the connection. Now, this feature will allow customers to gracefully terminate their connections for deployment patterns like blue-green deployment or rollbacks, migration of legacy applications, and while evacuating availability zones using zonal shift with Amazon Route 53 application recovery controller. So you can now set a value between 60 seconds and 7 days. So you can go as big as you want. The default is 3,600 seconds. And the nice thing about this new feature, no additional charge. You just get it. It's one of the great things about using services on demand. And now let's talk about storage. Amazon Elastic File System EFS has increased throughput per file system to up to 20 gig per second of read throughput and 5 gig per second of write throughput. So this now increases your maximum throughput by up to 2 times for your read throughput and a significant amount up from 3 gig to 5 gig for your write throughput. With these higher limits, you can now extend EFS's simple, fully elastic provisioning free experience for even higher throughput intensive workloads. Genomics, data analytics, machine learning, they're all the ones that tend to use this type of thing. The mount point for Amazon S3 Container Storage Interface CSI driver now supports Bottle Rocket, which is a Linux-based operating system that's purpose-built for containers. With this integration, your Kubernetes applications can benefit from Bottle Rocket's immutable root file system, low management overhead, and integration with AWS services while achieving high aggregate throughput to read and write data in Amazon S3. Basically, this driver presents an S3 bucket as a volume accessible by containers in Amazon EKS and also self-managed Kubernetes clusters. As a result, your applications can read data from S3 at high throughput and accelerate workload runtimes and save on compute costs. And finally, the Amazon S3 connector for PyTorch now supports saving PyTorch Lightning model checkpoints directly to Amazon S3. And this improves the cost and performance of your machine learning training jobs. If you haven't come across PyTorch Lightning, it's an open source framework that provides a high-level interface for training with PyTorch. And the connector automatically optimizes the S3 request to improve data loading and checkpoint performance. And saving PyTorch Lightning model checkpoints is up to 40% faster with the connector than writing to Amazon EC2 instance storage. So it's the way to go. Some really nifty quality of life improvements, good features, new functions, and speed improvements, Jillian. Anything that leapt out to you?
Of course, the Cloud 3 is like the big one, right? I mean, that's what people have just been really waiting for. And I hear so many people that are just really excited to get started with that one. So I say like, that's the ticket item.
Yeah, that was a big one.
What about you?
I'm going to go with the error checking CloudFormation, I should say. That's a pretty cool one.
Oh, yeah, that is definitely.
The SES one is another quality. Lots of quality of life.
Yeah. I think this is a world record, Simon, of like the fastest update show we've ever done.
Well, we're not trying to beat records, but if we make them, that's okay. Jillian, how do folks reach out to you?
Ms. Jill Ford on X, and on our AWS podcast website, there is a big button that you can go to and put your feedback on.
And press it and record it. And AWS podcast at amazon.com is also the place to do it. And until next time, keep on building.